Hey y'all, this podcast is meant for mature audiences only and contains strong adult language. So if you are under 18, be out. We discuss our experiences, thoughts, and tips on ethical non-monogamy from the perspective of a Black married couple. We smart, but we not experts. So this show is for entertainment purposes only. So whether you're working out, driving, or listening to us on your home sound system, enjoy the show.
All right, y'all, this is the Bomber here. Thanks for tuning in. This is going to be our final interview for Black History Month 2022, Black and Sex, and we saved an interesting one for last. We had the opportunity to sit down with the Bulls and Queens podcast, Doc Chocolate and Caramel from the Bulls and Queens podcast. This interview is an interesting one, unlike some of the other ones we've done, because it's less of an interview and more of a conversation about race play and sort of our varying perspectives on it. You know, if you haven't never heard of the Bulls and Queens podcast, they're pretty transparent and open and unapologetic in the way that they accept the, you know, some of the desire for Black men specifically, you know, use of terms like BBC and Queen of Spades, and they reached out to us and we, you know, decided to really have a conversation about this because there are some varying perspectives on these terms in the Black community. So we had some really fun dialogue. This is probably one of the most enlightening conversations we've had regarding race and sexuality, specifically the intersection between race, sexuality, and gender. This is a really important episode for folks to hear. One thing I'll say is that Bulls and Queens and myself were sort of sharing the same audio file. So if you listen to their show, you're going to sort of hear the same content, or similar content. I think, Doc Chocolate and I may edit it slightly differently. He may be releasing the episode in two parts. I decided to just release it in one full part. It's a long episode, but I think definitely worth hearing. Doc Chocolate and Caramel are a professional Black married couple based out of Las Vegas, Nevada, who have been exploring the swinging and open relationship lifestyle since 2016. In this dynamic duo, Doc is the goofy half and Caramel is the sexy half, as they have fun and have laughs twice a month with their co-hosts exploring the kinky side of the bull, hot wife, cuckold, and Black lifestyle world. So this interview was awesome. I was glad to have it, and I learned so much, and hopefully you will too. So we're just going to jump right into this thing. I hope it's not too jarring. but yeah, enjoy. Peace out. Tell us about your show. Why did you decide to do it?
So it was kind of my brainchild.
Yep.
So Us Getting the Lifestyle was a Caramel thing. And then the podcast was actually mine. And the one thing that I wanted to do was I wanted to connect with other people in the lifestyle, Bomber and Bill. And I just wanted to put out our adventures out there. And I've always been community minded in the way that I just roll as a human being. And so I just have total fun with it. You know, I'm having a blast. We are, I believe, 11 episodes in, have recorded about 8 more episodes that need to be published. I think this is the 9th. And I'm just having a blast just hearing everybody's story and being a connector of people and just living life.
Can I ask, because the thing is, it sounds like Doc Chocolate, you are like, you're usually doing the podcast solo, and some of the stories you tell, like it sounds like you guys like play separately. But then sometimes, you know, I think the last episode I heard Caramel come on and she was talking about, like, you know, there might have been a guy she was interested in, or might have been, I don't know if he was a coworker or some shit. I don't know. But it was like, I was like, yo, what are their rules? Like, what is going on here? Like, could y'all just tell us a little bit about like what your preferences are and like what, you know, what your rules and boundaries are in the lifestyle? Because I'm just picturing Doc Chocolate just out there, just swinging his dick, just at these events.
Because it's so small, I just dangle it. And just wait for whatever to bite.
So I got to go off and answer that question for you. Just going to the podcast itself, this was the, Doc Chop was the originator of this. And the podcast in itself is really more related to kind of the whole Bulls and Queens adventure, because that's where he really kind of found his, like, you know, real kind of like life, you know, saying lifestyle play. And then he just wanted to start talking about it. And then he was like, hey, just like with everything, hey, I want you to get on the show with me. And I'm like, well, the show is about Bulls and Queens. Okay, let's make it work then.
But you are my queen.
I know that. So with the podcast itself, there's a, there's kind of like a merge. Kind of like we're just kind of merging that in together and just really talking about and having my voice come on as a representative to say that, you know what, we are a married couple. We are in the lifestyle. This is really just kind of like a sect of what is all involved that he wanted to kind of monopolize on, capitalize on. So and as far as the lifestyle piece, that is such a loaded question. Both yes and together and separately as well, just depending on what type of style or what type of sexual pleasure we want to get into. I mean, this is not an everyday of fucking for me, okay? So this is kind of like seasonals and stuff, you know what I mean? Just kind of like moving around different things, you know what I mean? So it's and we wanted to talk about that as well, just to kind of give hindsight to what it is to actually be in a lifestyle and what it looks like, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So to kind of answer your question with that, yes and yes, both of them.
So so it sounds like you're like a seasonal lifestyler, Caramel, if I've interpreted what you said.
Like, yeah, because that's like the closest word I you know what I'm saying, I could say. Like, it's not, I mean, this is a lifestyle is such a broad word when it's, it doesn't admit to like, we're doing this. This is everything that encompasses us, who, you know what I'm saying, what we do and who we are. This is an area of definite growth and exploration for us. Mm-hmm. So when I say like seasonal, that's the closest word. What can I say? Like,
like temporary or?
No, seasonal in the sense of that's how it is, kind of, you know.
Situationally,
right now,
pretty much. Mm-hmm.
A situational lifestyler. I love
mm-hmm.
it.
I'm not like an average everyday type.
Doc Chocolate is in the lifestyle. You're sort of you dip and dab.
Yeah,
you guys sounds like you guys are okay with that arrangement right now.
Mm-hmm.
Still evolving, still exploring, and that's awesome. So let's. Let's just get into it, because there's other questions I have and they relate to our topic for today. But yeah, Bulls and Queens podcast, you'll hear more about how to contact and get to know these folks and their podcast a little bit better.
And I must say, Bomber, you have really, really white teeth.
Oh my gosh.
I was just admiring.
I am. That, you see, you're like... See, men need to compliment each other a little bit more often with shit like that, because I'm going to remember that for like the whole year. I appreciate that, man. I really do.
Like, Bella's a beauty, but you have very, very white choppers.
Oh, man. Oh, thank you. He's very diligent about his dental hygiene.
That is good.
I grew up with some people with bad teeth, so I know the consequences of fucking that up. So, so Doc Chocolate and I had come up with this topic to talk about. We wanted to talk about race play. The reason why is because on the Black and Kinky Lifestyle podcast, I know that we have spoken about race play, specifically, you know, the use of terms like BBC and Queen of Spades. And we talked about some of the issues with these terms. Now, the Bell and I have very different philosophies around this.
We do.
And so, you know, when I am scouting, you know, podcasts and I hear these terms, usually they're coming from white people, you know. Mm-hmm. And so to be honest, it's easy to oppose race shit when it's coming from white people. But when I came across your podcast, I was like, oh shit, like it's in the intro. Like BBC, Queen of Spades, that sexy ass voice you got. It's like, so I'm like, so when you reached out to me, I was like, Doc Chocolate, yo, I mean, I like your podcast, but we gotta talk about this shit. Bell ain't gonna ignore this.
So, you're like, hey Doc, let's address the elephant in the room.
Yeah.
Right.
There's a big ass elephant up in this room.
So that's what we wanted to talk about. And the Bulls and Queens podcast, you all, I mean, this is part of the brand. And so we wanted to have a dialogue about this. And I want to say, as far as race play goes, we're going to be talking about race play as far as using terms like BBC and Queen of Spades. Now, I know race play technically would include other more extreme examples like using the N-word in the bedroom and role playing racist fantasies involving cops and slaves and all of that shit. Black Lives Matter. I know it's pretty funky out there, but we're not going to go into the extremes. We're just really going to focus on the BBC, Queen of Spades. There's also a lot of other nuances around that. We're just going to really have a conversation about this, and I'm really looking forward to it because I have not been able to talk about Black folks. talk to Black folks authentically about this, specifically Black folks who are like, you know what? I'm cool with this shit. Like, usually I talk to Black people, they're like, no, that's wrong. Like, we can't be doing that. And I'm like, you know, you lying, nigga. Like, you like that shit. You go on a party and they talk about they want BBC and you walking around with a BBC, you gonna be feeling the energy. So let's... So let's talk.
All right, so... Oh man!
Oh, that's funny.
All right, shout out to Black History Month. I'm sorry.
Oh, go ahead. Man.
Hallelujah! And I mean, it's really, really good that we are having this conversation, Bomber and Bell and Caramel. And I'm sure that we'll likely have future talks about this because it needs to be said. And like you said earlier, if people are thinking about it, then we should dialogue about it as well. That's just my perception. Mm-hmm. And my thing is, we'll have the ladies put out their thoughts. We have two beautiful Black queens on here right now. We'll have them give their thoughts on race play first. And just as a caveat, Bomber and myself, we're the first generation sons of Africans who came to this country in the 70s. And we're very close to the same age, and we have a different dynamic that we grew up under. And then with Bell and Caramel, those are two ladies that grew up with a different history.
Me and Doc Chocolate have had a lot of discussions about this, and again, their opinions, their beliefs, and I mean, they basically come out of just pretty much what our experience has been, you know. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, at the end of the day, it's your identity and your sexual identity is shaped through that, whatever your culture is, whatever your historical background, social, all of that. So, when it came to me and him talking about like race play, you really saw this come out. So even between Black people, it's going to mm-hmm. come out. Yeah. And more even particular coming out between a male and a female mm-hmm. Black man and a Black woman when it comes to talking about this. So in my opinion, I think it's getting more play. I mean, this is the whole BBC, the whole Bulls, you know what I'm saying, Bulls and Queens, very exclusive in what it does. Because, I mean, it's just talking about emphasis on the Black man, you know, right, pretty much yeah. their desire, their, you know what I'm saying, their the experience, just, you know what I'm saying, to have, you know what I'm saying, to have. Mm-hmm. Let's just be real. Black men are very much put on a pedestal in this area when it comes down to just sex, period. They mm-hmm. are. They just, let me just really are. And I think for women, especially being a Black woman, being in the lifestyle, and of course, being married to someone who does, you know what I'm saying, participate in, you know what I'm saying, racial play. This is a conversation where I feel as a Black woman, we are really underrepresented. We are. There's not a niche sexually mm-hmm. for us, you know, and I could take it all the way back, but there's not. So for a Black male, this is, you know what I'm saying, this is something that is, I mean, that is fun, that is exciting. You do have to kind of have your grounds and what you go in, but absolutely. This is something that is exclusive in the sense of I don't share in that as if kind of how he does, if that mm-hmm. makes sense. You know what sure. I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm supportive of it, but I don't have a real voice in it. I don't have a real dynamic in the sense because mm-hmm. this is something that is exclusive to the Black male and not for the Black woman, if that mm-hmm. makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, I understand because there are, you know, from his perspective and what you've talked about, Bomber, and I'm sure that you experienced, Doc, is, you know, just the desire and the adoration that, you know, you get from the women who are just, they're really looking to have that experience with a Black man. Like they've been thinking about this, you know, even I think, yeah, in the last episode that you were talking about with the woman that looked like Cher, I believe. And like, just the thought of the experience, like it got her so wet. And I'm, mm-hmm. you know, that's the ultimate ego boost. Like I ain't even got to pull my dick out. I just yeah. walked in the room and just flood, just rain showers. Like, yeah. so I understand that part. And well, I understand, enjoying and appreciating that part. It's oftentimes hard to understand that part because Black women don't have that same kind of impact, I feel, in the playroom and at parties. Even though we are desired and, you know, people are attracted to us, it's not like that. And if it is, it is very much, what's the word I'm looking for? Overt fetishization. Mm-hmm. And so I'll say this, I always say this, like I have no problem with white women fucking Black men. Like I really don't care. Fuck whoever you want to. Yeah. You know, my issue tends to come in some of the language and behavior around it. You know, we all have our interests, our preferences. That's fine. I mm-hmm. like to fuck Black men primarily, but I'm not a queen of spades, you know, so you know that kind of designation. It's like, why do you need to do that specifically and then get jewelry and tattoo it on yourself? Like I'm like, do I just need to like get a Black dick necklace?
what is
my designation? Hi, I'm looking for the Black dick as well. Yes. Can I participate?
Hello.
The PBCs. Hello. you know, it's the language and designation, the singling out
yes.
that I take issue with. But again, I'm not a Black man, so the experience isn't always directly with me. Now, I do get some residual experience because, of course, either they want to ask my permission or mm-hmm. stuff happens where I'm interacting, you know, with Queens of Spades and it's not good interactions. So, but I don't have the direct experience. So like you said, I don't have a full voice in this situation because it's not targeted towards me, but I can only express my opinions, my feelings towards it.
Absolutely. And Bill, I'm going to back that up 110% because you're right.
Yeah.
You know, and like you said, being wives of BBC, and see, here's the thing when we're talking to our husbands on this.
Right? I'm at LBC, by the way.
What? Anyway, here's the thing. It's never, you know what I'm saying? Always the conversation, like you said, it's never about, you know what I'm saying, them, you know what I'm saying, fucking Black women, but it is the piece of, again, this exclusivity that's happening. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Black women are very underrepresented in the lifestyle because, again, mm-hmm. trying to figure out, you know what I'm saying, your place, like when it starts coming to this part, this is a different arena, you know, sharing the sexual experiences with my husband, with other people. I mean, you know what I'm saying? That's different. It's, you know what I'm saying? Because we're all on the same page. Mm-hmm. But when we start getting to this exclusivity barrier right here, it's different for us. And you got to understand that your Blackness and your masculinity speaks something very different than my Blackness and my femininity.
Yes.
Completely different.
Mm-hmm.
Your Blackness, you know what I mean? The skin that you walk in, it's very much, whether it's light or whether it's dark, it's prized because, again, this is exclusive. I am looking at that as something that is, you know, erotic. It's something that is, you know, turns me on. It's, you know, it's everything that whatever they have come to understand about it. But mm-hmm. as a Black woman, and our Blackness is seen very differently, unless you look a certain way. You know what mm-hmm. I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Kitty, small waist, whatever. You know what I mean? You know, whatever it is, you know, it's different. And my, you know what I'm saying? My Blackness and the lifestyle is not always embraced. So I'm just trying to find that area where we are embraced. Like,
wow.
Like she said,
mm-hmm.
you know, people find us attractive, you know what I mean? Want to sleep with us, you know? But it really, what does my Blackness say first? Is it my, you know what I'm saying? My Blackness reads a little bit different. You know, is my hair too kinky? Am I got too big lips? You know what I'm saying? You can see all of that because that's what my Blackness says. But with Black men in this area, free range for you guys. Big time. Mm.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
So in other words, there's a privilege that you have now,
mm-hmm.
you know, that you have entered into. And it's completely, you know what I'm saying? Completely, this is just an evolution. At one point when this was animalistic, now it's prized.
Mm-hmm.
Very different.
Yeah.
Very, very different. And as a Black woman speaking in on it, you know, this is where me and him, you know, saying go to it. He's like, well, you know, it's not like how you're thinking, how it is, you know.
Right. Caramel. Yeah, like, we're not there. We're not a part of the interaction. No. So yeah, so I'm sure there is there's an air to the environment that we are not experiencing and we won't be able to fully comprehend because we can't have that experience. Right. But sometimes it just seems a little fishy to me.
Yeah. I mean, I think I'm the same way. I think. So it's just an area where you're objectified because you know you are objectified in this.
Yes.
100%
of the yes.
completely yes. objectified. Yes. You know, it's completely. You know?
I just want to acknowledge something that Bella alluded to earlier that just had me really cracking up. And it was the idea of her having a Queen of Spades tattoo. Like, if you really want to troll and protest it, I'm talking to Black women everywhere. Just get some temporary tattoos and put them shits all over your body.
Oh my goodness.
And you're going to get approached by some white women. They're going to be like, hold on. Like,
right.
And then a real conversation could start.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was thinking today, I was like, yo, can Asian women be Queen of Spades? Did you ever see an Asian woman with a Queen of Spades tattoo? No. It's not just it is white women who exclusively go after Black men. What is that about? Yeah. Belle just pulled something. Belle, you just pulled something on your phone.
Oh yeah. So this is gonna I'm gonna give you long context, but we were in Savannah, Georgia last weekend. We went on a Black History tour and had this like Black docent who was very happy to have us there because she doesn't often get to talk to Black people about the history of Black people in the South. And she mentioned this book, and I haven't had a chance to read it, but it was just really interesting to me. And the title of it is called They Were Her Property, White Women as Slave Owners in the American South. And so the conversation that we were having with her about was like, the men were usually off in Europe doing business, off to war. They weren't in the house. They weren't there managing and really running the plantations or the house and those kind of things. That was the responsibility of the wife. So when you think about kind of the oppression and the interaction between Black people and white people and how they were managed, it was really the white women who were the ones implementing, you know, those practices, because, you know, the men may have come in and say, okay, this is how I want the house to run. And then I'm gone, you know, doing my business and making money to keep the house. But who was there were the women.
Fucking the slaves. Fucking the male. They had BBC tattoos back in the antebellum South.
Yeah.
And so, and you know, and I know because, you know, I grew up in the South and in the Midwest, and you know, you all, well, I don't know where you're from, Doc Chocolate, but you know, Bomber, you here, keep
saying my name like that, I am going to book a ticket up to New York City. Oh my God.
But I know your experience as a Black, even though that, I mean, you're very American, Bomber, but still your experience and your understanding of race relations in America is very different than mine, which is you talked about earlier.
Yeah.
And so just understanding that, you know, there is a history there, regardless of your sexual preferences and, you know, what have you, who you like to fuck, all that kind of stuff. There's a history between white people and Black people, whether their ancestors owned our ancestors or not. There are institutional context, systematic context there that I just can't ignore.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, that's, you know, a rub for me.
I feel you. I feel you. And the thing I want to say is, the thing about, like, I spoke about this earlier in another context, but when it comes to BBC, when it comes to Queen of Spades, right, when it comes to that branding, mm-hmm. You know, I had a male panel and we talked about this issue, and the reality was that we recognized that there were people that were throwing parties with the BBC label. They mm-hmm. were throwing parties like, yo, we got, you know, we got single Black men coming through, like, come and party with us. And I think the issue that we weren't talking about that was problematic was that it wasn't Black people that were throwing these parties. Yeah. That's the problem I have. Mm-hmm. Like, if the thing is, the demand for BBC's Queen of Spades and all that shit, the demand isn't going anywhere. Like, no. We could be PC about it. We could just be like, you know, we all BLM.
And make it plain.
You know what I mean? Yeah. But the thing is, there's still a market for it. It's like crack. Like, oh, yeah. you could make it illegal, but motherfuckers are still going to want to smoke crack. And so somebody's going to make money off of that.
Yeah.
You know? And my position is, I would rather if the thing is, if BBC and Queen of Spades and, you know, Cuckold and all that bullshit is going to sell, I need Black people to capitalize on it, make money off it. You know, if I need us to control all of that shit, because if it's white people that are selling, promoting and profiting off it, it leaves a bad flavor in my mouth. It feels like we right back on the plantation. It feels like this weird white corporate America that's just making money off of the desire for Black bodies. You know what I mean? So when I came across your podcast, that's what I was thinking. I was like, oh shit, this is kind of cool. Like, I mean, you know, Belle ain't gonna like this shit, but but yo, this is dark chocolate shit. Like, he's doing this. He got people coming on his podcast talking about their desire for this shit. He got people, you know, they're single black men who come on your podcast. They're like, yo, I'm out here swinging dick, and I'm feeling. I love life right now. I love it. You know what I mean? Yep. So yeah. So I wanted to just acknowledge that. That's my position on it. I know we needed to move to the gentleman's thoughts on some of this race play stuff, but that is my position.
Love
on
the
it.
Like, idea.
Yes.
Love
it. And just for the record, Splash Mocha is black owned, and they throw like BBC parties.
Yeah. Holla!
And that was. That's interesting that you put that in there, Belle, because I was just going to ask about Splash Mocha, because
yeah.
I've literally talked to 5 people in the past like 10 days who brought up Splash Mocha, and I was going to ask, like, okay, well, who's Splash Mocha owned by?
Yeah, so it's a black guy, and he has a whole crew of black men, BBCs, that he invites to his party, and you can hire them out.
Do all kinds of stuff.
Yeah. Are they taking applications?
They might be. Listen, you can sign up. All of the men looked great. They were very attractive, young guys. Like, it was a good crew. The issue I had is when I went in the room. Well, not when I went. Well, I went with another black woman. A white woman was in there and said, well, why are y'all here?
Say what
you
I'm
already
saying.
Got one. That's why I said that's my. See, you see my problem?
Straight up racism. How you know she? How you know she got one?
Right.
And
I would say to our white brothers and sisters and anybody else that's not a person of color, is this that. It's scientifically said that it takes 3 generations for a culture to assimilate to the culture that it has immigrated to.
The dominant culture. Yeah. Okay.
The dominant culture. Thank you. The primary dominant culture. And so when you look at the black experience in America as a whole, yeah, the Emancipation Proclamation in the 1860s set black people free as a whole. But for the next 100 years, there was a sort of slavery going on. It was pretty much black people were slaves. Okay, black people were terrorized. And that's just the truth. It's an ugly truth, but that's just the reality of the situation that happened. So the way I personally look at it, is that black people in the United States of America didn't truly have real freedom. They had full freedom, but they didn't really have freedom until 1965. Okay. Mm-hmm. And moving on forward. And so 3 generations, that puts us around this time frame. And what's happened is, you know, like Caramel and Belle's grandparents, they've taught you guys, you know, hey, this is the way you need to act because this is what happened to us. And I don't blame them because they're trying to protect you. And then your parents likely told you the same thing as well. And for Bomber and myself, we come from different perspectives. And yeah, my dad, when he came to the U.S., he came into the U.S. in 1976, I believe it was. And yeah, he experienced a bit of racism. He was out there in DC, but it wasn't as much racism, obviously, as you ladies' ancestors, you know? And so, like me and Bomber, you know, I'm just assuming, you know, we didn't get as much, hey, be careful of white folks. You know, I mean,
I think that's accurate. I mean, I think the fact is that in America, black people have been slaves longer than they have been freed.
Yeah.
So that's the sort of context of reality. But I would also like just expanding it a little bit further on a global level. It was in the 1960s that a lot of African nations actually achieved their independence, right? So there's somewhat of a although, you know, I think the history of like direct racism and sort of the relationship between white and black people certainly look differently in African nations than it did here. I think it's true in terms of like the household culture. Racism as a topic never came up in my household. Like, mm-hmm. we just did not talk about it. We didn't really talk about the history. I mean, when my parent or my dad, I should say, just straight off the boat, African, when he talked about like cultural differences, it was really like, these Americans are crazy. Americans, yeah. not white Americans, yeah. Americans. That included everybody. that was not Ghanaian.
Yeah.
Like, y'all motherfuckers is all crazy. That was his philosophy.
Absolutely. And I think also just going to that with just being a culture that had, you know, repression, but this, we're also sexually repressed too. Mm-hmm. This is, I mean, for a lot of black couples, sexual oppression is really big for us because we so much conform to traditional type ways of being, like, you know, again, because when you see this arena, I think I've said it on the show. I was always saying, man, this is some white people shit. That's how I was talking, some white people shit. Like all of this, like this crazy exotic stuff, you know, like it's, you know, this is white people shit. It's fun shit, but it's white people shit. I mean, like, I just, you remember, you always got that one good friend, you know what I mean? Like, it's just crazy. But it is
a good friend.
You know, I'm like, you know, whatever. Yeah, I know you're the one. Just all right. So, and I mean, I'm just saying that when it came down to, you know, just moving to a sexual, you know, I'm saying sexual arena, you know, white people have always been able to kind of really push the envelope. Now, don't get me wrong, black people do a lot of, you know, I'm saying, we have our mm-hmm. own sexual exploits that we do, and you know, yeah. so. But when it comes to being extremely just exclusive and fetishes mm-hmm. and moving towards that,
yeah,
that's on a whole different plane. So,
got it. So, like, you feel like as a black woman, your freedom to play is restricted?
Not my freedom to play, but a niche mm-hmm. is restricted. Again, mm-hmm. see. We talk about this.
Okay.
Niche. We talk about this. Now let's explain something first. We talk about this all the time. I'm sorry, go ahead. What were you gonna ask me?
No. I'm just throwing a quick thought out there, but like my personal opinion, and Bell, Caramel, y'all let me know what y'all think. You guys are probably gonna disagree with me, but
you see, there was one. Yeah, okay, mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm sorry, that was passive aggressive for me, but like I feel like black women are desired in the lifestyle.
Oh, I wouldn't disagree with that. I would say that we're desired. I would say that oftentimes our approach to the lifestyle is different than some of the other women in the lifestyle. And I would say this, well, white women are much more aggressive than many of the black women that I am friends with and interact with in the lifestyle. And you know, that's fine. But if, you know, we're in a situation, I've been in a situation where it's, you know, primarily white women or non-people of color and me, like, I'm going to have a hard time, you know, I'm going to have a harder time than they are. One, because lots of reasons, but one, they may be, husbands may be intimidated by him. Women may be more aggressive and forward than I am. They may be intimidated by me, even though I'm not doing anything, just because of my black womanness. Or they may do something to fuck themselves up, like touch my hair or tell me, you know, I look like a piece of chocolate, which for me is not okay.
you know. So I need to say something
real okay. quick.
So the thing about this dynamic when it comes to gender and race.
Yeah.
So let's just address the elephant in the room here. Like, when white women come up to me or Doc Chocolate, they may be being aggressive, but the dynamic in the bedroom is ultimately going to put Dark Chocolate and I in a dominant position,
yeah.
which is a not like is non-traditional sort of or in direct conflict with the history of blacks and whites, right? Yes. So in some ways, it almost feels like they get a pass for that kind of race play desire, because it's not putting black people in a submissive position, mm-hmm. but it's also adhering to the gender norm mm-hmm. of black of men in general being in a dominant position. So it's sort of a comfortable fit. It's like it's race-based, but it can't be racist because we're putting you in power. We're putting black people in power. Yeah. And as a woman, as a white woman, I'm still maintaining my role as a submissive mm-hmm. person in the bedroom, which is where women sort of naturally fit. There's no violation there. Mm-hmm. Now, when it comes to black women, this gets really tricky because as far as gender norms, black women are submissive in the bedroom, just like any other woman, right? This isn't always true, but typically, this is the case. And so the idea of a man wanting a black woman to be submissive actually adheres to a racist paradigm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's problematic. So you can imagine that there's somewhat of a barrier there. Now, the question I have for you two ladies is, let's just say that white men were being aggressive, but they were being aggressive in terms of being the submissive partner in the bedroom. Mm. So if they were coming up to black women and saying, listen, I just want you to walk on my back. I just want you to spank my ass. I just want you to stomp on my balls because you are a black queen and I just have a fetish that involves black women just whooping my ass, hurting me, smacking me in the face, and I have a tattoo on my ass right now.
Oh, man.
Preach. Pussies only. For black feet only. For black hands only. Would you have a problem if you went to a party
that
was the theme? Would we be having this conversation right now?
I think that would still be a little much.
Can I drop an amen? Can I drop a couple amens there? Oh my God. I was waiting for the collection bin to go by. Oh my God.
Would you be offended? Maybe it would be a lot, but would you be offended? Would you be insulted by something like that? Because I've heard you say, Bell, many a times that you would not have a problem taking a flog to a white man's ass.
I would not have a problem with that. No, I don't think I would be offended. No. Mm-mm. I'd be like, okay, that's he really is okay. I know somebody who can help you out. I don't know if it's me, but I know somebody who can, you know, get you what you need, get you some black hands on your ass.
Right.
But I don't yes, so you're right. I don't think I would be offended by that.
Because that's the position we're in.
Bobby, you know why it doesn't offend? It is because throughout time, regardless of what black men have been portrayed as, the one that they have been portrayed as is also desired. That's mm-hmm. the difference from social, you know what I'm saying, from media to what you see on the screen. You know, you see a black football player or a black actor or, you know what I'm saying, or whatever, they're prized, they look good, they're esteemed, they have all of these women, the money, the this and that, da, da, da. For black men, you mm-hmm. are now evolving to the place, and even though we still have a long way to go, but people are especially for women, and especially in the sexual arena, they see your blackness, but they see less of that and see more of the masculinity, man, that you carry. Mm-hmm. The, you know what I'm saying? The domination, you know what I'm saying? The strength, whatever. Like I said, your black skin looks very different, and it's also validated in our culture. It is. Mm-hmm. You got the power, you got the money, you got women. So to answer a question like that, to say, you know, what if a white man was to say, you know, say that, it would be like, wow, that would be cool. I mean, but it would also be in the sense of a little bit scary, because guess what? That ain't validated. It is not. It is not validated. We are not looked at as prize. We are as you know what I'm saying? We have beauty. You know what I mean? But at the end of the day, you know what I'm saying? Are you a prize? Question mark. Question mark. Well,
like when you say prize, are you like define that?
Prize as meaning, you know what I'm saying, just placed up on that, you know what I'm saying, placed up on that pedestal, you know what I mean?
I'm not placing white women on no pedestal.
No, I know you. What I'm saying is that, again, it's different, you know what I'm saying, it's different for you. So you have white men come into you, said, I want you to know, fuck the shit out of my wife, and this and that, and I want to see it, and I want you to nut everybody, this and that, and you like, all right, whatever you do, you will give me the power, and I get pussy too, all right, power and pussy, let's work it, let's do this, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But now, would you want to, but I'm saying, I'm sorry to interrupt you, because I feel like Chocolate's point earlier was that, like, you are desired in that way, but it's problematic if a white, like, I don't know, like, a white dude coming up to you and being dominant, but still desiring you, like, it's, I don't know.
Change it out though, but before you are dominant, you are desired first. There's a difference. You cannot be dominant unless you are desired first. You're desired first, then comes you can go ahead and be dominant, and that is that submission there. There's a difference with that. So to say, if I want to, you know, send be, if I want, if I'm going to be dominant, let's look at white women. They are desired. They are. They're desired. They are the profile in this Western culture is beauty. Oh, it isn't until so recent times that you know, now, you know what I'm saying, the, you know, women are now getting all of these different implants to, you know, to go ahead and come and to have the curves and the shape that many minority women and a lot of white women had it too, based on whatever they were, you know, DNA pattern is, whatever, but it was never. I had a good friend that was a white girl, had a badass shape, Coca-Cola baller, but in her white community she was known as fat, but today can't tell that bitch nothing. You know what I mean? she got it on both ends.
Yeah,
but at the end of the day, it is the white woman that is, you know what I'm saying, that was this desired, therefore. Can she sit up there and have dominance? Hell yeah, she can in this sexual arena. Period. And so that. Again, when we, this question that you ask about race play in the lifestyle, again, black women underrepresented. We don't have that piece. As a woman, yes. Am I desired? Do guys want to go ahead and mess with me? Yes, 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 all of that. But at the end of the day, can I be dominant over, you know what I'm saying, a particular, you know what I'm saying, over a particular race? That's a good question. Wish I could, because I think I have a very dominant personality, but that shit is foreign when it comes to a different race.
Yeah.
It's foreign.
Wow. Wow. Damn, this.
I mean, I think a lot of times as well, in terms of, you know, myself being dominant, and thinking about other black women, is that then we fall into what some would consider stereotypes. And like, I don't want to deal with that bullshit either, because it's like, okay, I am dominant, but then like, oh, you're, you know, now, oh, you getting ratchet, you getting sassy. Yeah. You know, oh, I like it when you do like that. And I'm like, no, thank you. so it's, you know, it's managing, I have to manage my own behavior, because then I could fall into, you know, this expected stereotype of me, you know, that person's perception of who I am. But, you know, that's not the case. That's just, you know, sometimes black people get loud. Like, that's just a thing. That's a cultural thing. Like, we have a tendency to be loud. Like, it's not, you know, I'm not angry. Like, I'm not getting sad, whatever. It's just, you know.
And for men, that's part of, like, that's being loud is almost part of our sex appeal.
Yeah.
You are listening to the Black and Kinky Lifestyle Podcast.
ABNK fans, so we are a little bit sad that Bomber and Bell cannot join us for the next Podcastapalooza event, but you may have heard them talk about Miami and Dallas in 2021, and they would love to invite you to join us in Palm Springs this 3rd through the 6th of June 2022. We are taking over a full hotel, over 168 rooms for 3 nights and 4 days, and we're going to light that place up with pool parties, foam parties, daily seminars, mingle events, theme nights, you name it, we're going to have it at the event. If you would like to come and join us, please do us a favor and use the Bomber and Bell link, which is podcast-a-palooza/BNK for Black and Kinky. Come and celebrate. Let's take some photos. Let's make them totally jealous and get FOMO for the fact that they are missing out joining us in Palm Springs. We would love to see you there. So podcast-a-palooza.com/BNK. And we really hope that you can join us. Bye, guys.
I know we had some questions about as far as the as far as being objectified.
Mm-hmm.
As a man, I had never experienced that before, the lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And it's something that I like it stimulates me, like being objectified, like even like a woman looks at my body and she desires my black body.
Mm-hmm.
That's nice. I had not experienced that or experienced it as aggressively from my fellow black women.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand why that is. I mean, you guys see us as humans, right?
Right.
Not as objects, right? That's sort of what it is. But there is somewhat of a pleasure in that.
Mm-hmm.
And is that okay for black men to like that and enjoy it and embrace it and leverage it, mm-hmm. you know, for their sexual pleasure? Is it okay or is it a problem?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I think anytime that someone finds you attractive, like that's going to be pleasurable, right? So, you know, I think it's, and you know, in initial meetings, just running into people, you're not going to know kind of the context behind their feelings and that kind of thing. So, I mean, I don't think you should try to dampen or change that emotion when someone's like, oh, you're so hot. Like, I love, you know, all of this and whatever like that. So like, you're going to enjoy, you're going to enjoy that experience. And so I wouldn't take that away from you at all. I mean, I think the reason we're in the lifestyle is because we acknowledge that we are attracted to people. Like, we're attracted to people other than our spouse. And so it wouldn't make sense to be like, oh, well, you know, if somebody is attracted to me because of how I look, that, you know, I'm not gonna, you know, feel good about that or what have you. But I would say is, you know, when it is singularly focused because you have a big dick, a big black dick, excuse me, a big black dick, or, you know, specifically just the color of your skin or, you know, the texture of your hair, that kind of thing, is where for me it becomes problematic because, you know, I've been objectified in the lifestyle from non-black people, but it's because there is something about me that is so different from their everyday experience. So it's because of my hair, you know, or because of my skin color. And so that, you know, not because like I'm just a beautiful woman, right? But it's specifically this one thing that's just so interesting about you because I don't see it all the time. You know what I'm saying?
And you don't like that. That's something that would turn
no.
you
no.
Well,
yeah.
And can I ask a question, Bill, and then even Caramel? Like, what's wrong with that?
Thank you, sir.
Wrong what?
Like, what's wrong? Like, what's wrong with somebody liking you for your skin tone and your hair? Because they look at you and you're an exotic woman to them. And they are married to, let's say, a white woman, right? What's wrong with them looking at you and desiring you because you're two beautiful black women? You have full lips, you have thick hips, you have beautiful fingertips, you have that nice hair. What's wrong with that?
Well, nothing's wrong with that. I think women in general across the board, love, you know what I'm saying, love attention and love to be, you know what I'm saying, love to be desired. So I don't, there's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with that, especially if it's, I mean, but here's the thing. When men see, I mean, when men see women, they see kind of like, you know what I'm saying, a full package. You know what I mean? I see, mm-hmm. I see the body, I see the breasts, I see the smile. I see beauty. Rarely do you see is I'm here for your skin color. No, don't see that. Right. Hey, here for your hair. You know, like, let's just be real. Like, come on. Like, nobody's saying that. I mean, you're again, and here's where I need you guys as husbands and black men to own it at this point in time. You are desired in this sexual arena, and your big dicks give you privilege. Mm-hmm. You have it now. You have it. You have it to walk into, you know what I'm saying, to walk into a room now and just kind of really assume like, yeah, that chick want me too. That chick want me too. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? You have it. I know I can pull this one. I know I can pull that one. Like, you have it now. And it's a sexual privilege. You know what I mean? So hell yeah, it's going to feel good. Hell yeah, it's going to brush your ego. Hell yeah, it's going to do all of that. For women, vaginas are kind of the same. You know? No, you know what I'm saying? They, you know what I mean? Shave it, cut it down. I mean, but I mean, just look. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a pussy. But that's what I'm saying.
But I guarantee you.
You know, I'm telling the truth.
You're right. But I guarantee you, Caramel and Bill, y'all can walk into any place in America. It doesn't matter what city it is. You guys will pull in at minimum 10 times the amount of dick that me or Bomber could hope to pull in vagina.
That's right. Oh, yes. Okay. We have to address the fact that when men approach women, they have to bring game.
Boom.
They have to bring game. Like, that alone puts y'all at a disadvantage. When a woman walks up to us, she doesn't have to have game.
She got
to
have a little bit of
come
something.
Come on, man. No, she does not have to have. She doesn't have to have. No.
There have not been women where you've been like, I can't talk to her. Like, I can't.
Yeah, but those extreme examples, Belle, you know they're extreme. Mm-hmm. Like, women just have, like, women could just kind of sit back and look at you and fucking bat their eyes. You ever had a guy bat their eyes at you and turn and that turns you on? And you're like, oh, I'm going to give this nigga some pussy. Like, no. He had to come correct. And the thing is, oh, like, man. The guys walk up to y'all, like, and white men in particular, like 90% of the time, they're just going to say the wrong thing. If they like you because of your hair or your skin color, the thing is, they could keep that to themselves, right? They could keep that to themselves and just come at you with game. Like, I like this woman's black skin. I like her hair. I'm going to see if I can bag this. And they're going to come, and if they come with game, if they come correct, then it won't matter.
It won't
matter how they look at you. But the problem is that they have to come correct. Women don't really have to do all that much for us.
True.
So I just want to talk about that.
Who problem is that though? Exactly. Yeah, and you're right. They do have to come correct. And when they come correct, they're not gonna say some stupid shit like, oh, your hair is so strange. Like, so you know what I'm saying? Like, so yeah, that really did happen in real life. So what I was gonna say is,
oh really?
Yeah.
That happened in real life?
Yes, that happened in real life. He said, your hair is so strange. I've never seen anything like it.
How is that sexy?
I don't know.
It was on a swinger cruise, Doc. It was on a swinger cruise. Like, it wasn't even like we were just out like at a conference or some shit.
I mean, like, because I'm trying to like visualize this. Like,
it's horrible.
Your hair is so strange.
Strange, nigga? Really? Like, come on, man. Got me fucked up in these streets. Go ahead.
But what I was going to say was, Doc Chocolate, I'm glad.
Oh my God, you can't say my name like that. You can't say my name like that. I'm going to be having dreams about you.
I'm glad you used the word exotic, because if an American man in the year of our Lord 2022 thinks that I am exotic, there is something wrong, because that means your world is so small that you don't see regular ass black girls on, you know, other than in TV and not in real life.
Come like, on, you ain't no regular ass black girl. You need to chop up. You need to stop playing.
But you know what I'm saying, though? Like, yeah, I should not be exotic.
She should have stole what she had on Valentine's Day.
I think, yeah.
I'm going to check the Instagram.
In the, you know, I can understand that. I can understand that that approach where, you know, of course, like you said, you know what I'm saying, you got to have game, but that's in, like, you know, regular terms, this is lifestyle. Again, yeah. You don't want to accept that you got privilege, do you? You got a privilege.
Oh, no.
Accept it.
I 110% agree. Okay. Like we do have privilege.
Okay, this whole podcast is based on that privilege.
Yes. So when I say, and
BBC privilege.
Let me go ahead. You do. Y'all need to put a BBC VIP pass or something. Just say you got it. I got it. I have seen Doc Chalk go into a lifestyle party and look around and be like, oh, hell yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
he's like he comes in there.
It's time to get to work.
He's like, I'm serious, Belle. All of a sudden, it's like, if you hear that Beyonce song, I'm feeling myself. I'm feeling myself. Because the energy of walking into, you know what I'm saying, walk to room, and don't get me wrong, he works very hard on, you know what I'm saying, on his body and this and that, you know, you guys are great, you know what I'm saying, great looking. So when you go into these things, it's just kind of like, you already kind of know, because you ain't got to bring no game, because you got the privilege already. Mm-hmm. Now, for us, it's kind of like, shit, let me look around. Wait a minute. Hold on.
Right.
Let me see. What's going on? Okay. Wait a minute. Let me see.
There have only been like two parties, both of which were 99% black, would have been the only time I walked in the party like, oh yeah, I'm getting him.
Right.
Him too.
Right.
Might have to share him later.
Oh, wow.
But right. Wow. Only right. Time that has right ever
here,
happened.
Right here.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Otherwise, it's like, I think I'm just going to be sitting this one out. Yeah.
I feel, okay. So, like, shit. I've been at parties where, like, every guy desires this woman. Mm-hmm. Every guy. Now every guy is shooting his shot towards her.
Wait a minute, let me get it straight.
And she doesn't want to, like, and I'm talking about attractive guys, mm-hmm. Okay?
I can't see how
you cannot see him
looking at Doc Chocolate.
But you
like,
know the
look. He is like, though, he's like, I'm going to let you say.
Her preference is for black gentlemen. Okay. Mm-hmm. It is what it is. Okay. Yeah. If you're in the lifestyle, you want to go with your preference. But you know, there could be a dude that look like Chris Hemsworth. And like, hey, I'm just gonna say, you know, as a straight man, Chris Hemsworth, that is an attractive looking mm-hmm. motherfucker. Yeah. Okay. I'm just saying. Mm-hmm. And like
what?
No. I'm like, what's wrong with him? Yeah, he's attractive, but no.
His hair wasn't tight. Was that what it was? Like, what's the problem here?
No,
what's going on?
Let's get something straight. He's not telling the full story, okay? Uh-huh. See, they become he'd be like, hey, what's wrong with him? Now he's already seen, you know what I'm saying, seen a couple that he likes, and he's already feeling the girl, you know what I'm saying? Again, he got privilege, so he's like, hey, I can get whatever about that one. Take one for the team.
I am willing to take one for the team.
No, and I'm just going to be honest, you know what I'm saying, honest with you. It is, and it could be definitely because of where we are, you know what I'm saying, where we at of a lifestyle. But sometimes there are people that are not, you know what I'm saying, not your preference. You want to go ahead and play with other couples. But like, okay, the dude is like, you know, like 30 years older and, you know.
Look.
You remember one dude with like that. They had that medical issue.
What the fuck?
No.
Okay. Why are you bringing him up in there?
No, Bill.
I did not even put him on there as somebody that was like, you know, a possible. No. Because like he had like a big old ball, which was like the size of my fist. And like he had like a regular size ball, and like it was a medical condition, and like I was looking at that and I was a little bit faded, you know, maybe a little bit too much to smoke, and so I saw that from across the room and I was like, that is a big ass ball. And I was like, it's not symmetrical. It's not symmetrical. It looked like a pumpkin in a golf ball.
It did. And no lie. And this was like a pool, like a pool party. Yeah, he just,
it was a nude, it was a nude party. So like when we go to these parties and we make these connections, it's like, I'm not trying to wife you up. I already got a beautiful wife, right?
Yeah.
I'm already married to a beautiful black woman. When I make a connection and I'm trying to link up with a lady, it's because number one, yeah, I find you physically attractive. But number two is, hey, we have a slight connection and I am in this to build friendships. I'm not in here for, you know, one and done. That's not my style. But the thing is, I'm not looking like super, super deep. You know what I'm saying? Like, hey, well, do you have the personality or the psychology to be a good wife for me 30, 40 years down the line? No, I don't care about all that stuff.
But no one's talking about that.
The thing is, like, when I look at a woman, I honestly, I don't care what color she is, whether she's black, white, Asian, Latina. Well, I love them accents, but like, yeah. I don't care.
Can I ask a question? Because I was thinking about this earlier. So I listened to the We Gotta Think podcast. You know, I don't know if you guys have listen to them or not, but they had a really interesting episode recently about envy. And so in the lifestyle, we talk a lot about jealousy. We don't talk a lot about envy, though. And envy is really interesting for black couples in particular, because envy is not, you know, jealousy is all about like fear. You know, your partner might, you know, you're scared your partner might leave you, or they like somebody who's, you know, more attractive than you are. And there's all kinds of insecurities that come out of that. Envy is a little different. Envy is you are having a more positive experience than me, and I'm not having that experience, and I feel negatively about that. And so when it comes to black couples, sometimes I wonder, and this has been consistent. I mean, you know, they're extremes either way, but I think for a lot of black couples, I wonder, since black men are this desired group, do black women, is some of the negativity coming from an envy that they are not experiencing some of the same positive sexual energy that their partner gets to experience because they're so desired?
You feel envious?
I mean, I would give you that, like, two or three years ago. Yes.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But now it's just like, I just know. Well, and I think we're just in a different place in our lifestyle journey, period, on that. But also, I think that it's just like, I now know kind of what to expect. And so if I was envious, I'm no longer envious, because I know that 9 times out of 10, you'll be able to have a better time than I will.
And you're just accepting that.
Yeah.
Whereas before, you didn't quite know it,
right?
And understand where it was coming from.
Yeah.
And so you were like, damn, I wish I could have that too. Now you're just like, oh, this is what it is. So like, I'm cool, whatever. You know, I'm just going to go back to the hotel room and take a nap while this nigga's just fucking railing.
I envy the ones that can actually have, a niche of where you can pick. I envy that.
Yeah.
I envy like the one that's like, it's a queen of space. I envy that shit. Hell yeah. Cause it's like, well, damn. Well, damn, you got like this and that.
Yeah.
I envy that. And here's the thing. Again, a queen of space is very fucking selective, extremely selective. But when when I get selected, you ain't doing it right. You're not doing this. It's always something. I got to take one for the team, or I got to come down on my standard. This chick doesn't.
Whoa.
This chick, she gets to pick. Damn. She gets to pick what she wants when she wants it. She gets to have it all. Well, damn. Hell, I sure am. I would love to have it like that. And I envy that, because there are many. Now, of course, I could get my hustle on now. And get some shit, and, you know what I'm saying, and do it like, you know what I'm saying, do it like right. that. But then it's, you know, that takes work, and that's a whole nother
right
thing. But mm-hmm. I mean, just to have the idea, and again, you guys got to hear this again in this sexual arena, in this lifestyle, all right? You guys have a market. Your market value has went completely up. And here's the crazy thing, and this goes back to what you were saying, Barmer. It's marketed up because guess what? Guess who's behind it? Mm-hmm. You got a white man behind that shit. You can always go up. And that's just the truth of the matter. Because he would not, she would not be doing it unless her husband said, let's go ahead and do it. Yeah. So your value has went up because he's behind it. Mm-hmm. Period.
The thing with it is there's been many times just talking about our escapades where I've said, I hate using the word take one for the team, but like there's been many times where I said, hey, you know what? You pick a couple, because my desire is to play as a couple, mm-hmm. right? That was my first desire because I like that connection, right?
Yeah.
And I know it is hard to have a four-way connection, obviously. Mm-hmm. But my thing to Caramel was, hey, you pick a couple that you're good for, and mm-hmm. I'm good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it takes a while.
Oh, yeah. It absolutely takes a while. And I think, you're right. Finding that connection where, you know, everybody is on the same page, you know, can play together, has the same style enough that, you know, we can make it work, is super challenging. And I think this environment, like Bomber was talking about, has made it even more challenging because we're not going to parties as much. So we're not meeting as many people. And, you know, we're trying to do this dating thing and that's, you know, whatever. not as easy as it would seem to be. So if that's, you know, what somebody is looking for is to play with couples, yeah, I wouldn't say taking one for the team, but, you know, I've definitely been in a place where I'd be like, you know, okay, so he's not like a 10 for me, but, you know, I'm open. I'll, you know, can he be charming? You know, can he make me laugh? That kind of thing.
Of course.
I'm not in that place now. Like it's either it's a yes or a no. Otherwise,
right? Hello? Yeah, like I don't want to have to find stuff. You know what
right.
I mean?
Yeah.
But I mean, it's just. I mean, like I said, it's nothing wrong with having the sexual privilege that you have. You have a niche. It is what it is. You know what I mean? This is gonna take. You know what I'm saying? This is gonna take a while. Unless I get up on that pole. What's up? You know what I mean? It, you know,
I would make it rain.
You know, instead of twerking
out. Said he's up.
You know what I mean? I will, you know, it's yeah, you know, it is what it is. But I'm just saying, in this life story, and let me just say it to everybody, babe, I'm happy for you. You know what I mean? You got it. You're owning this shit. Like I said, half of the people that he, you know what I'm saying, that he has, you know what I'm saying, have these plays with, I've met them. I'm good friends with one of them. Like, it's nothing there. Like what you were saying, Bella, it's like, there's no envious there because mm-mm. in this, when you get to a point to where in your relationship, were you very secure? I'm a very secure person within myself. Mm. And I'm very secure in our marriage. And more than anything, I trust what we have.
Right.
You know, so when he goes out and he's having fun, I mean, I'm like, all right, that's, you know what I'm saying? That's cool. Great. I like, you know what I'm saying? I hear the stories. I see, you know what I'm saying? The pictures. I'm like, you know, hell, you got a podcast on it. Like, mm-hmm. wow.
Yeah.
You know? Like I said, I'd let her be a queen one, you know.
You are a queen. You are a queen.
You know what I'm talking about.
I do know what you're talking about.
You know what I mean?
About.
I would love to see that.
Because, like, I feel like it's like a self.
Hit me up, brothers. Hit me up.
Hit her up. Hit her up, brother. She's a beautiful black woman.
Oh, my God.
But I feel like there's a self-imposed hurdle or wall that many times black women will place on them experiencing their full potential in the lifestyle, you know? And let me not just say black women as a whole, you know, I don't want to be, you know, stereotypical, but like for you, I feel like there's a wall that's been placed up where, you're like, hey, I ain't gonna have fun in lifestyle.
I disagree with that, but okay. I take your opinion for that. I disagree with that, but I take your opinion for it. You know, no, and there's no, there is no, there is no, there is no wall. This is always going to be an evolving arena. Everybody is going to evolve in this. That's just what it's about. Yeah. Evolving sexually, evolving mentally, emotionally. I'm at the age right now that, you know, if I would have jumped into this in my 20s, I probably would have been way open to do a whole lot of shit. Like, hey, yeah, let's go do it. You know what I mean? Because see, you go through a period of your whole days, like for real. Mm-hmm. Like you just go, just like go for it. You know what I mean? You know, and you're okay, you know what I'm saying? You're, you know what I'm saying? You're okay with it. Now at this stage, like if I want to get what I want, you know what I mean? There used to be a time in my life where all I could do was afford, you know, McDonald's. But if I want, you know, filet mignon, God damn it, can I get it? Like, even in this arena, I want to be able to get it. And this is an arena, what I love about having, you know what I'm saying, being in an open relationship is because you get to explore that and you get to have it the way you, know what I'm saying, the way you want to. It's just in my opinion. You know what I mean? It's just in my opinion. What's the point of me just going out and just, you know, fucking anybody for the hell of it? I'm
right.
That's.
Can I ask a question? This is interesting because you just referred to your relationship as being in an open relationship.
I mean, our sexual, you know what I'm saying? Our sexual fantasies and that what we, what we, you know, say what we do or what we go after, is strictly, you know, saying it's strictly sexual. I mean, that's just what it is,
right? Yeah,
you know, that's just what it is. You know, you get to pick and choose, but I mean, it's in that form and in that form only. You know, I don't have side dudes or anything like that. I don't have any of that.
You definitely could have side dudes though.
I'm just saying. I don't have that. Yeah. I don't have that. So I mean, just lifestyle, you know, and just, you know what I'm saying, being open in that, you know what I'm saying, being open in that particular arena. That's what I mean.
Can you say how my listeners can get in contact with Bulls and Queens?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
So if you guys like listening to a black man with a small black penis.
Eyes.
And a beautiful wife. You can go to bullsandqueens.com. You can Twitter us at bullsandqueens or kick at bullsandqueens. Email bullsandqueens@gmail.com. And please don't send dick pics to me. Send them to Caramel. She will really enjoy it. She loves having sausage lockers in her inbox. Thank you. God bless.
Appreciate that.
And stay sexy. You're welcome. It's high protein. It's very, very keto.
Okay. Well, I hope you enjoyed that. We had a lot of fun talking to Caramel and Doc Chocolate. I feel like we stayed on the phone for another hour after that conversation. Just chopped it up. I hope you picked up something from that. If you guys have any questions, let us know. All their information will be in the show notes. We'd be happy to hear what your reactions to this episode, what some of your reactions were. I'm sure this may have stimulated some dialogue. It may have challenged a few assumptions. Yo, we appreciate y'all showing us love and supporting us in this this Black History Month. You know, for us, every month is Black History Month, but we made things a little bit special this year, and maybe we'll do something next year. But I want to just really thank the content creators that joined us. I hope you've had the opportunity to check them out if you haven't already. We will see you in the next episode. If you have any questions for any of our guests, please reach out to them directly. If you want their information, please feel free to reach out to us, and we'd be glad to pass it on. All right, y'all. Peace out.
Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed the show. Please do check us out on Twitter and Instagram at Black N Kinky. You can also find us under the same name on Cassidy, APG, Amort Getaways, and Patreon. Check us out on Facebook and YouTube under Black and Kinky Lifestyle. Feel free to email us at blackkinkylifestyle@gmail.com or call and leave a voice message at 937-462-0744. Bye. Black and Kinky, Black and Kinky, Black and Kinky Lifestyle.